China hits hard on a corruption case.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A few hours ago in Shanghai, an Australian executive at the mining behemoth Rio Tinto was sentenced to 10 years in prison for bribery and stealing commercial secrets. Three Chinese Rio Tinto managers got between 7 and 14 years. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us live. Hello, Scott.
Bill, good morning.
10 years for a foreign businessman, is that a lot?
Well, Bill, I got a text message not long ago from a friend in the steel industry, and it simply read, "Wow." There's a sense of severity here. The Australian foreign minister a couple hours ago said the sentences were very tough. This whole decision has to do with the iron ore business. Rio Tinto sells it. Chinese steel mills buy it to make steel. It's a very complicated business, but there's ample room for corruption.
And what message does this sentence send to the foreign business community?
Well, some are saying this is a wake-up call as an initial reaction. There are a lot of sectors in China, steel, healthcare, automotive, where you hear stories of creative giving and receiving. And now this case comes along and says, well, you better be careful. I spoke a bit ago to Malcolm Cook at the Australian think tank, the Lowy Institute.
It's very rare for a senior executive to be arrested. So I think overall it kind of shows that the legal system in China for commercial cases works differently than in the Western world.
And Scott, could this decision drive any foreign companies out of China?
No sign of exodus, Bill. I mean, we have heard about Google, but aside from that, everyone knows China can be a tough place to do business, and it may in fact be getting tougher. But the prevailing wisdom seems to be, you know, this is still the biggest emerging market there is, Bill.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in Shanghai. Scott, thank you.
You're welcome.
Asian stock markets were mostly higher today. Shares there rose about 0.5% after some stronger earnings from Chinese companies. Greece said it's issuing a new 7-year bond. This comes after Eurozone nations agreed to help Greece with its debt. European stocks up 0.25%. On Wall Street, the Dow added 9 points on Friday to close at 10,850. Congress has enacted the historic health care overhaul. Now comes the hard part, enforcing it. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Gregory Warner has more.
For the last 3 years, Alan Cohen has had to file an extra form with his Massachusetts state tax return to prove
that we have purchased insurance, or at least we have employer-sponsored coverage of some type.
Cohen directs the Boston University Health Policy Institute. Massachusetts requires residents to have insurance coverage. With the new health care reform bill, when the federal mandate to buy insurance takes effect in 2014, the IRS will be enforcing it. State commissions will be in charge of making sure insurance companies conform to the new law. Tom Diener is a health care consultant and former state Medicaid director. He says if insurance companies don't comply, states could bar them from participating in the sure-to-be-lucrative exchanges, where they sell insurance to individuals and small businesses.
Yeah, so if you're an insurance plan, you want to be a part of the insurance exchange. And you're going to make the changes in your policies and your practices to make sure that that happens.
Proving every stick needs a carrot as well. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering Go to My PC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at gotomypc.com/news. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com. And by Vanguard, reacting to the stock market is investing. Taking stock in long term is vanguarding. More about vanguarding at vanguard.com.
With President Obama making a surprise visit to Afghanistan, the chairman of his Joint Chiefs of Staff is saying the war strategy there is bound to fail unless U.S.-led troops control Kandahar, the spiritual home of the Taliban opposition. The U.S. is counting on both a military and a public relations victory there. And now comes news the Pentagon is shutting down some well-known American businesses on its base in Kandahar. We're joined by the McClatchy News Service's Kabul Bureau Chief, Dion Nissenbaum. Welcome.
Thank you.
Will you describe the Kandahar boardwalk for us?
Yeah, you know, by American standards, it's a dusty square and there's a Subway sandwiches. There's a new PGA Fridays on one corner. There's a small hockey rink where they usually have nightly hockey games. That was brought by the Canadians. And there's also a new basketball court that's come around since the Americans have started to come in a bit more.
These restaurants that are facing a shutdown, TGI Fridays and others, they are there on the base to cater to American soldiers and other base personnel. Why does the military say it's shutting them down?
Well, the military says with the new soldiers coming in, they basically need to create more space on the base. Of course, there's also a sense that this is as much about sort of the perception of having, you know, a slice of Western culture in the middle of Afghanistan. And in Kandahar, obviously, that's the spiritual home of the Taliban. And so it's especially sensitive, I think, to have these kinds of concessions right there, especially on the eve of the coalition attempt to drive the Taliban out of Kandahar.
It's an unusual position for these American corporations to be in. I guess they serve at the military's pleasure. So does that mean the shutdown is a done deal? It's going to happen?
They've exempted a Green Beans coffee house, a Canadian favorite, Tim Hortons, will remain open. But the other places are all, I think, going to be packing up. And I imagine there probably will be a fair amount of discussion about the contracts and whatever clauses there are for breaking them.
So the Canadian restaurant stays. Diane Nissenbaum is the bureau chief in Kabul for the McClatchy newspapers. Diane, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
And finally, the ad agency Ogilvy One Worldwide is looking for the world's greatest salesperson. The agency tells the New York Times advertising has become more about razzle-dazzle than actually selling stuff. So they are challenging contestants in 15 countries to create an ad for a brick, a red brick. Winner gets a 3-month sales job because the agency says if you can sell a brick, maybe you can sell anything. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.